Okay, we're now ready to do the second part of today's presentation, part B, and it consists of four money flow T's, and the order that I'm going to do them in is the SPX, which is Standard Poor's 500 first. Then I'm going to do the GLD, which is the the gold fund, and then JNK is Wall Street has called that a junk bond fund. It's really a high yield fund. Some of the best records, like FAGEX, have been done in the high yield funds, and you can refer to it as high yield if you're trying to sell a fund to somebody. But on Wall Street, they go for the low quality and they call it junk. So JNK, and then the last one is the problem child here is the Treasuries, which is TLT, tilt. Okay, and lately it's been on a tilt, and we have to go and try to figure out what we're going to do on that one, because that is getting oversold. It's not quite oversold enough, and so I have to add in another chart, which is the VUSTX for the 20 years, because that's the one that I had previously discussed. That's how you look for opportunities. Okay, so let's first go to the SPX. Okay, we've discussed money flow T's before, but you have the first money flow T. You take a market low, which was back in February. You find the midpoint in the MFI, which is the money flow indicator. You make an equal time projection, and you get a top in late April. Then we decided that in this next rally, at first it seemed like you don't even know where the mid flow is, that you should start the T in September, but it overran it. So this is when you're doing experiments, you always get these things wrong. You don't understand the details of it first. Okay, there's something going on there that's good, but so what you have to do is you have to move back to the previous low, and that gives us a top in the coming up. And Parker says it's the sixth. The chart isn't necessary. He counts. He gets a better count than I do. I'm just laying these things out graphically. Okay, in my midweek update, I said, well, isn't it interesting that, you know, the market's down here, and it's come down to this blue moving average here, and he says, and it's only got 3 days, can it make it up? Well, it just popped back up, and that's pretty good. I think that's a great test for the fact that you can reach out from a July low to a money flow peak, double the time, basically add another time on it, and get a top date out of it. So I'd say the money flows is probably the greatest new thing I've seen in 10 years, 20 years, as far as time symmetries and money flow. The reason the money flow T's are capable of high accuracy is that during the rally, the fact that you're dealing only with rallies means that you are dealing with a very liquid market situation. In other words, there's a lot of money in it. And all time symmetries that I've ever seen, having a lot of money around is the big thing that gives them definition. It makes the equality of the time come out right. And when you're dealing with the with some of the other T's, like in the long-term chart before, if you're in a situation where you don't have a lot of liquidity, which it encounters because it has to go into errors where there are problems, then you have a situation where the time symmetry doesn't hold. But these inline, what I call these inline T's, are pretty good. And I thought that this is a great T. We assume it's right. So the answer was, would you buy something at the end of this T on Monday? The answer is no. Well, if you look at T1, you know, what happened? Well, they did have a flash crash there. I have no idea whether it's going to have a flash crash or anything like that. There isn't any apparent reason to do it, unless, you know, Spain defaults on the bonds or something, you know, something like that. You know, which there's no way to predict that. So what we'll do is we'll just say that I really like money flow T's, and so I have set up all four of them, and I'll discuss why I picked these four when we get to do the mutual fund stuff. But this looks like it's a completed forecast, and as of now, you have no reason to do any buying in the stock market. Now, we have to move on to the next T, which is the gold T, and the reason I'm doing the gold T next is because its time period is also early December, and in that case, we also have a money flow T first money flow T is done early and it looks okay. You start the next money flow T and it looks like you've got a little bit more time on it. And you know, it's kind of fuzzy because the stuff is gets to be fuzzy. But the answer is you wouldn't buy gold here because that you know, presumably this is a top date. Now, what the question you have on the gold is you know, what do you think it's going to come down to, and what do you think is the place that you would want to look to entry? I would think it would have to be like 130, where you have some, you know, gold has a long-term bullish forecast. You'd have to look at something like that's 1300 basically, 130, because it's a tenth of an ounce. So that's another one that you got, you know, we keep coming up with tops all the time and there's nothing you can do about it. So these two things are back on burner, and you know, there's always the chance, no matter what the cycles are, that you're going to get hit harder than you think, or you're going to get hit later than you think. In other words, you get to the middle of the month and things aren't quite right, and then something bad happens and you get pushed down, and so you don't want to believe the date. You just got to look at the risk reward ratio basically, and because you're in a bullish trend in the in gold long term, you tend to look at these bottoms around the 130 level, which was started in November and so forth, and see if you can try to hold those. Ideally, you'd break it down a little bit, okay, from there. But I think if you can't get down there, I think you're just going to end up there. The money flows look to be accurate enough to actually be believable, in my estimation. And, you know, you can't fight a top on them. So they pull rabbits out of the hat with the S&P 500 in the last three or four trading days, and so forth. And so let's just go with that forecast. Okay, now we move on to the ones that have been completed, so that there's not too much to say about the junk bond fund, which is basically the FAGEX clone in the exchange traded fund area. Illustrates again that the first money flow, you always go back to a rising bottoms pattern. So what you're looking for, and when you start a money flow T, is really a selling climax. So if we get a selling climax, the question is, at the end of the year, or any other place, should we start looking for something? Well, if it goes low enough, the answer is probably yes. You should look at it as a buy point. But we don't know that. We haven't got anything on that as far as this is concerned. This chart was made during the day and on Friday, because that's so I can get moving along. And what we see is we only got one money flow T here, and it overran it a little bit. It's come down to the blue moving average. It is trying to lift up. Presumably, it's going to take another decline when we go down to the, because we're at an arms warning signal that there will be a decline, and it will come down below the previous lows, and we'll go take a look at it at that time. That's all I can say. Jump on it just doesn't appear as though it's at a low juncture. You'd think that would be more likely to be around 38 or 30. If you were 38 and a half, would be more or less where the low is. Then we finally get to the problem child here, which is which I get a lot of questions on, which is aptly named TILT, which is that 20-year bonds. When I do the bond, when I do my fund things, treasury bonds come in generally for categorizing them as there's long, intermediate, and short-term bonds, and most long-term bond funds have a set of long-term bonds that the average maturity is about 20 years. Then there's another group which is slightly less volatile but still very productive, which is the intermediate bond, which has a maturity in the portfolio of about 10 years, 8 to 10 years. And then there's the short-term government treasury bonds, which is 5 years, and they are very, very stable, and they get a lot of they get some of the gains out of it, and that's what we use for in a case for a substitute for a money market fund. If you're going into a long-term bear market, and the money market funds are yield zero, but you want to have treasury bonds, but you don't want to have violent changes in it, you go down to 5 years, or you can go down a little bit less than that, and you can actually get the yield up above zero, but not much above zero, but you can get it above zero, and the volatility is very low. In this case, we only have one money flow T, and that seems to come out okay. All right, and then you have a decline, you have a partial rally, and then it just sort of drifted off, and then the question under the question mark is that there's a low. Okay, now that's quite a substantial decline there. So do you think that that should be where you put the left end of the T? Well, in order to calculate a new money flow T, what you've got to do is you've got to see that question mark low has got to be successfully retested, and then it's got to come back up again and start going into this pattern of rising bottoms. At least that's the rule that we get out of the other examples. So the question is, can you get that? And the answer is, I don't really think that you're in any position to say that's true. The Federal Reserve is spending so much money that it's the safe bet is that you've got an inflation problem, and there's probably other people that want to sell us stuff. So in this case, there's no reason to believe that you would draw that money flow T, except that if something bad happened, if one of these countries started to default, you'll tend to get a rush of money into the U.S. They want to come to the U.S. or if it's a war type situation, they'll come because the U.S. has the weapons get the really powerful weapons. And what they'll do is they'll reinvest in treasury bonds. So you can never say never on this stuff, but I would say that the odds don't really favor it. Now when you look at the fifth chart that we have here, which is now VUSTX, which is actually the equivalent to the TLT, or said a close equivalent to the TLT. They're never really equivalent. What you have here is the total returns. If you're in the bonds, you're only in the total return business, okay? And you don't want to have too much volatility. In it, we have a weekly chart with a 52-week moving average, which is a 1-year moving average. This one is an exponential moving average. And I have a couple of places in history. And you can say that if you really wanted to find the best possible place to buy long-term treasury bonds, it would be on the green arrow, which currently points around to 14, okay, on the scale to the right. No, I'm sorry, that's 11, versus 1158 as a close. So it's possible that you really wouldn't want to get terribly excited unless you could get down to $11 if you wanted to be conservative about this. Okay. If you went back to intermediate bonds, which are less, you could take a chance on them because they have less volatility. But even and of course the point that you could if you saw some situations you thought that was a little bit better, you'd have to go to the blue moving average or under it by a small amount. And there you can see that VUSTX kind of peaked at the overbought level, which is that parallel red channel to the green channel. It's come down to the bottom zones, to the moving average, where it technically, if everything was favorable, it could make a low. Okay, so that's why I have to draw I have to start watching it now. Okay, but the answer is if you get almost all cases, what happens is if the market goes up, the treasury bonds go down, and if the market goes down, the treasury bonds will go up. They're inverse funds. So, and I'll discuss that when we get into the bond matrix. The matrix that we use in our management program. But that just means that there's kind of a risk. If you think that you can make one more pop up, you think in the market, you think that you can make one more pop down in the bonds. So you think it's going to go down below that blue moving average, which is a 52-week moving average, and then it starts to get more interesting. And if you do that, then you can't draw the money flow T. The left end of the money flow T doesn't start there, so you'd leave that one alone. That's not to say that if you own them, you wouldn't you would sell them or anything like that. Generally speaking, they're in an uptrend. It's just that they don't like to be at the upper red line channel. That's basically, I'm putting channels in there. That's an overbought level, and you do want to get the down towards the green line. So I just hold it out. In my company's area, sometime we're just going to get bearish. We're going to have to get involved in this. We're either going to have to make a decision that we're going down to the green line and buy it there, or it gets depressed under the blue moving average enough to think that it's making some kind of a bottom there. I'd say that what's generally true is, which is different from the past, is that when you get to the point where you think you're making a bottom, you switch right over to money flow T's. Because you got a money flow T that's geared to the bond market, or to the junk bond market, or to the S&P 500, or to the gold market. So you switch right over to those because they have a better chance than trying to make a manipulation as to what do you think the market's going to do and how you think they're going to go. You go right to those four funds as the four options that you have for investment. So that's pretty much what the story is for money flow T's. I will say that this is a great advance from where everything we can see. The reason it's still experimental is that we don't know how to start them. We're not sure. You still have the problem of what is the most oversold condition that you can safely start the progression of rising bottoms that's going to start this trend that's going to carry double time past the money flow peak. And the answer is that's exactly what the problem we have now is. We don't have an oversold condition, so we're pretty much in the position just waiting for some kind of an oversold condition, and then if the opportunity shows up, we'll do something with it. Okay, so this winds up this section here, and then we're going to go to what we have is a matrix, which is a gigantic spreadsheet. We put a whole bunch of stuff on it, and I'll continue with that one in the next section.